Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome to our live Q&A show. For the last month, Good Fight Ministries has been putting out different premieres regarding our four-part series covering a church known as Bethel in Redding, California, and some of the teachings and doctrines and those who even are involved with Bethel and some of the things they teach and how it's affecting a lot of the evangelical world. At least for me, for the last month or so, being able to go through the different comments and questions that we get from fans of Bethel, and a lot of times it is, hey, here we try to say, hey, here's what the Word of God says, and it's always comes back, well, I feel, or I this, and I that, and it's, I'm sorry, that you have to go back to an objective standard. Okay, Shayon, I don't care how much he yells decree, that means nothing unless you can say chapter, verse. We need an objective standard that we go back to.
Paul says, don't go beyond what is written.
And if there was anything going beyond what is written, it's bringing a staff, saying this is what is needed.
A wizard staff, yeah.
To end racism. That's what's needed to end racism. And I want to talk a little bit about that as well, because like you said, coming out of the occult, recognizing this witchcraft, do you think there's a significance that she's making that? I know you mentioned a little bit, but maybe you can go just a tad bit deeper for people maybe they're wondering. This idea of slamming it down, making sure it's precise, it kind of reminds me something of, you know, when you look at the pentagrams and things like that. So maybe you, because with your background, having a little more information on that could kind of shed some light.
Yeah, in the occult, what you do is you draw magic circles, you draw hexagrams, you draw pentagrams, all kinds of things. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to manipulate the demonic forces that you're using. And sometimes a lot of people that are involved with witchcraft, they think they're trying to get in touch with good spirits, and they have to deal with the bad spirits that come along as well. Many people that are involved in witchcraft, like Aleister Crowley and other Satanists, they acknowledge that they're contacting demons. It's a demonic world. The scriptures tell us it's just the demonic world that they're coming in contact with. But they're led to believe, because Satan wants them to believe that they have some power in this when he's manipulating the whole time, that if they use certain potions in a certain way, and they use them with precision, and they use certain incantations with their words, that they can control these spiritual forces. Even though over and over again, I have a whole list and a whole bunch of quotes from a lot of different Aleister Crowley and others who admit that they're unleashing demonic forces that can destroy you, okay? A lot of people that get involved in the Ouija board go get into mental hospitals through the years, you know, it's a proven fact. So these folks are opening themselves up to demons. So what they're trying to do is they're using these potions, these incantations, these mantras and so forth to manipulate these demonic powers. It has nothing to do with God. So what she's leading them into is wizardry. I mean, she's tied it into Gandalf and manipulating. They're not taught, God's angels aren't at her command. God's not going to be commanded by her. In fact, guess what? If racism ended like they said it was going to because of this spell, they would have made Jesus a false prophet. Because Jesus warned them in the last days, he said lawlessness would increase and nation would be against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The word nation in the Greek is ethnos against ethnos, means ethnic group against ethnic group. The scriptures say it would happen because of people's rejection of God, rejections of the love of God, rejection of love for your neighbor as yourself, rejection of the Christian ethic, true Christianity, and therefore there would be hatred and anger toward others and people of different, you know, racial backgrounds. So actually, if their spell came to pass, it would make Jesus into a false prophet. And so you look, and obviously their spells are based on the occult, so they're not going to come to pass. Sometimes Satan will give some success to someone. If he can get someone to bow down to a stump and keep them enslaved to a stump rather than one true God through witchcraft, he'll let certain things happen to manipulate them. They'll even have their so-called prayers sometimes answered or their incantations come to pass, because that's just how Satan works. It's just interesting. I went to a website that's called the Witches of the Craft website, and they talk about the magic staff. And by the way, when they talk about witches of the craft, they talk about magic staff. They spell magic with a K, which is what Satanist Aleister Crowley said to do when you spell magic. And they refer to it as a spirit staff, and about how to use it to do one's bidding. And a lot of these sites talk about slamming it and doing certain things with the staff. In fact, another website called spellsofmagic.com for witches. and they talk about a spell called Loki's fire and casting instructions for Loki's fire. As you speak the final part of the incantation, slam your staff point first into the earth and release the binding rune you have been using to control the energies of the spell, and it's supposed to control fire and so forth. So you have these, this comes out, it's right out of witchcraft. The witches are doing this, and now it's at Bethel. But it's been sanctified, and since Bethel, and the music is so beautiful and everything, it's how Satan works to get people into it.
Yeah, I remember when we had visited and done some evangelism in Rome. One of the things you notice when you go to Rome is you see these monstrosities of false gods, and all they do is just put a cross on the top of the head and say, oh, it's Saint Michael.
Yeah, it's a great point.
This. And that's what they are doing with witchcraft. That is exactly what they're doing. Let's sanctify wizardry and then just say in Jesus' name, and then that's all of a sudden a potion, instead of actually coming from the authority of Christ, which is also his word and his power and the Holy Spirit inside of you. You're now doing it in Jesus' name as a spell cast.
Well, it's funny you say that, because and it's really sad actually, but she says, thou shalt not pass. She puts the King James thou there. All of a sudden, it sounds sanctified. It sounds King James. Somehow, this must be biblical, this banishing spell that's used by wizards, you know? And Satanist mediums will talk in like King James English. This is the most ridiculous King James English you ever heard, phony accents and everything else. And they'll do it to Pat. They'll talk about Jesus and, you know, the secret Abraham brings, you know, the collective spirits bring Jesus into it. And that's what they use. Edgar Casey and other sources going way back, Gene Dixon, they'll talk about Jesus because that's how Satan works, right? What's interesting, you shall not pass. Witches, Satanists, you know, in the occult, they use these terms quite often. You shall not pass. This is a banishing spell to protect people from demons that are in the occult. We don't need to say you shall not pass. We just use the name of Jesus, you know? And we stand and we resist the devil. He flees from us. But in a witchcraft site called Llewellyn, and Llewellyn's 2021 Witches Spell a Day Almanac. And on that website, it talks about spell, banishing money problems in the new year. We read about the banishing type spell used by the wizard Gandalf. This is, I'm quoting them, by the way, that it's practiced, it's practiced by Phil Johnson. They don't mention that. But the one that we were just talking about, listen to what they say. I'm quoting them. Mix together equal parts copal, sage, and eucalyptus incense. This is a potion. And burn over a charcoal. Fumigate your home with the smoke. And as you do so, chant, I am prosperity. I am wishes fulfilled and needs met. I am the crown of success. Kind of sounds like the
prayer from episode 4.
I never shared this with you.
No.
Of course, man. Sounds like the spell from
no, you were right the first time.
The proclamation at Bethel, at the front, when they talk about we are incantation, really.
Decreeing it.
Decreeing success. I banish all debt and financial devastation. It shall not pass into the new year. It shall have no place in my life. Seal the energy at the end by saying, so mote it be. And by the way, so mote it be is from the Gnostic Mass done by Satan Sylvester Crowley. That little phrase appears over and over again. And it appears also...
Very, very similarly, it was also on Led Zeppelin's album as well, right?
Yeah,
a little differently.
A variation. It was so mote be it. Which Page probably gave it to them correctly. And then they, when they mastered it, they put the spell wrong. But it's interesting, another witchcraft website entitled This Crooked Crown, Witchcraft for the Everyday and the Extraordinary says, quote, you shall not pass, a defensive protective spell. If you read the title in Gandalf's voice, you're doing it right, they say. You shall not pass is what I call an active defensive spell, the author of the website says. It's a security system. Essentially, it's a passive, dormant spell that sits and only activates when someone or something happens outside or what you've been programmed. It's one of my favorite and most used protection spells ever. It calls for rose thorns, it calls for fingers, toenails, hair, and blood, depending on what you want to banish. So we're talking about, this is just witchcraft at Bethel, and nobody can argue anymore that they're not engaging in witchcraft.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And what I found so interesting is if, once again, and I know we're hearkening back, but we spent 4 hours and now we're going to spend 5 hours examined these teachings, not simply because, hey, we'll just throw out there and hopefully we're right. No, we want to examine it and make sure we knew things were in context.
We want people to be persuaded and see the truth.
And see the truth. And when you see this, I just immediately, from all my studying of Bethel and those involved with Bethel, when I saw this specific event with Bill Johnson handing off the staff,
mm-hmm.
with Che on there, I just reminded me so much of the blessing that was given by C. Peter Wagner to Todd Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
And who was right there? Che on. Bill yeah. Johnson. They were right there, and you guys can see that in episode 2 of our Bethel series. And you can see him giving this blessing that he was going to do the more work for the kingdom and everything was going to happen. But then, oh yeah, that's right. Todd Bentley was caught in adultery and then married the person he was in adultery with. And then eventually, just this last year, caught in adultery again with men and women, by the way.
Yeah.
And it was found,
the guy is demonic.
He was found guilty even by full-blown 100% care of the charismatic movement.
And even when a lot of these things happen, they continue to affirm him as an apostle and so forth. And I'm glad you brought it, Bentley, because, you know, we need to talk about at, you know, Bethel Supernatural School of Ministry. They do some weird, a lot of weird stuff, right? In fact, one of the episodes we show where a witch comes in as a witch and she's affirmed in her witchcraft by the prophets.
Yep.
And it's quite crazy. But it's interesting because they did an assessment where they looked at what's happening with the graduates out there, and they put together a investigative group to kind of look at what's happening and what's good and what we can fix. And the group's called EIDO, and it's, quote, conduct a wide-scale research project, objectively discovering and celebrating the corporate testimony of these graduates, which, by the way, was their own group that they put together. Of course, they said, oh, there's people that got healed and there's people that were risen from the dead without any documentation provided. But they had a little bit of a critique. What were some of the problems? And one of the persons says, you know what? One of the graduates says, there could be more talks from people who work in the secular world and can describe what it's like to be a revivalist without using any jargon. I have never said, bam, take it, since graduating. So, of course, Jesus never said, bam, take it either, by the way. So this guy shouldn't feel bad. Should just seek the Lord in spirit and truth. And Paul never went around saying, bam, take it, James, John, and so forth. But what's interesting is this is what's being taught. And I thought, that's interesting because, and I was hoping I'd find it, and I did, because I knew this came from Todd Bentley. And I just started searching YouTube. And sure enough, you'll see Todd Bentley years before this declaring, bam, take it. I call it the bam, bam yeah. theology, or I call it the Flintstone theology. Okay. It's basically incantations of bam, take it, as though you're releasing spiritual powers to blab it and grab it or name it and yeah. claim it.
Yeah, and we're going to play that clip right about just in a second. And just so you know, the reason why, not only catching them on video together and being together, but Todd Bentley, even after committing adultery and getting caught in that, actually wrote a recommendation in Bill Johnson's own book, and we showed that in episode 2 as well. But we're going to be playing a clip, so you can hear. So it's not just us, it's not just Joe clapping. You can hear the bamming going on over there with Mr. Todd Bentley.
Bam! Let it come on him now, God. Release the angels of revival and the angels of breakthrough. Bam! In the name of Jesus, we release it. Bam! 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 You can take it, anybody that wants it. Bam! Bam! Release revival anointing. Release revival glory. Release revival anointing. Release revival glory. Release revival anointing. Release revival glory. Hey, 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 hey. Take it, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. Bam.
Yeah, as you can hear the bamming going on there, and with Todd Bentley, you hear him doing this. This is the same guy who said he kicks out cancer of people. But the connection that you're making is not simply that is ridiculous. Okay, that's obvious. But there's an obvious connection. Not only do we see Bill Johnson and him together, not only do we see him writing recommendations for Bill Johnson books, but then you hear the same language as you just mentioned.
Yeah, and I think we don't want to miss something that happened in that little clip, and which relates to what you're saying, is notice he said at the beginning of the first clip we played there, is releasing angels. We're releasing angels.
Yeah.
Again, incantations and witchcraft are to commission spirit entities. The Bible says he makes his angels ministering spirits. But God is the one who dispatches them. He's the one that sends them. You don't see in scripture where humans are sending angels in different places. So what's happening here, he's going, bam, you know, take it. But just before that, he goes, we're basically releasing angels. And he's involved in witchcraft. In fact, what's interesting about Todd Bentley, and this is actually chilling to the bone when you think about it, this will prove to you there's these demonic entities behind these guys, so many of them, is Bentley claimed to be born again, claimed to be doing ministry, claimed to be making prophecies and all these different things for quite a while prior to him being called out at some Roman Catholic Bible study where he is basically delivered and he admits he was demon possessed and he talks about growling coming out of him and so forth. And they got, I don't know how many demons he still has in him, but supposedly 25 were cast out. I don't know if any were cast out, but I know they identified like 25 demons that are manifesting in him. And this is the guy who's claiming to dispatch angels and stuff. This is the guy, along with Bill Johnson and others, with Gandalf and witchcraft, that are leading the church into Satan's kingdom. And no wonder we wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not really wrestling against Bill Johnson and Todd Waite or Bentley. These are the guys both. Both actually, but these are the guys that are being used by demonic entities to steer the church into mysticism and the occult and the dark powers. And watch this clip, folks. You'll be seeing what these guys are
just,
in touch with.
Just real quick, for point of clarification, we were going to deal with this later, but you had already talked about it when it came to the commanding angels or telling angels to do this or that. One of the things that was brought up by Bethel fans were, hey, what are you talking about? People talk to angels. You see Mary and angels came and visited people. So they were saying what you are stating is that angels can't really minister and you can't, an angel can't come to you. Is that at all what you're trying to state?
I've never uttered such a word.
Yeah.
I've had many messages on angels. I'm teaching through the book of Revelation for years now, and John the Apostle is being talked to by an angel over and over again. Angels appear to the shepherds. I've never uttered such a word that we can't talk to angels. I'm saying you can't command angels to do things for you. You know, you don't see that in Scripture. We've been created, it says, lower than the angels. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it talks about how they're higher than us. They've been sent to minister to those of us who will obtain salvation or inherit salvation. So they're a blessing to us, and they can communicate by coming to us, but we don't pray to them. The one songs by Bethel is called Calling All Angels. We don't call angels. Yeah. We call upon the living God. If you have a relationship with him, you know him, you don't have to call angels. You don't have to call Shazam. You don't have to call Spider-Man. You don't have to call Gandalf. You don't have to do his spells. You have to bow before Jesus and rejoice that the creator of the universe wants to empower you and use you to his glory. Why would you want anything more? You can't have more than that.
Yeah.
Because that's the greatest.
And you mentioned the Calling on Angels, the Jesus Culture song, which if you guys didn't know, Jesus Culture, Bethel music, all of it is all wrapped up in that. But with all that, let's actually play the clip where he mentions specifically about Todd Bentley being demon-possessed in ministry.
I'm hearing the voice of God, and the audible voice of God says to me, a spirit-filled, born-again Christian, praying hours a day, reading the New Testament in one sitting. I mean, in church, you know, I was in men's group on Tuesday night, in church on Sunday, in mass on Monday, like anywhere that I was out in the streets every day. I was like, what? Tell him I have a demon. I said, how can I have a demon? You know, I don't have a demon. And so he said, yeah, I want you to go tell him that you have a demon. And so right in the middle of this service, I walk up to him, and I whisper into his ears, Frenchie, I have a... And I start manifesting a demon. In fact, it wasn't my voice anymore. I was so possessed by this spirit that literally my voice started speaking in another voice. But yet, I was still aware of the fact that I'm Todd Bentley. I'm here. There's a voice speaking out of my mouth that's not my voice, but I have no control. I can't get myself back, and I can feel something rising up, and through my flesh, not my spirit, but through my flesh, there's a demonic power controlling me. It throws me onto the floor, and I start writhing like a snake. I smash the coffee table, and I start grabbing people that are in the room, and I just throwing them around up against the bookcase. I mean, I'm thrashing this lady's house, and I'm like an uncontrollable writhing serpent on the floor, speaking in a different voice and cursing and profanities coming out of my mouth. And as that's happening, I'm saying, I love Jesus. This can't be happening to me. I don't have demons. I love Jesus. And the whole time I'm cursing the very people that I love, and I can't stop, you know. And so he jumps on me and he starts performing deliverance. And the first spirit that came out of me was fear. That was the first demon. It was a demon of fear. And then he starts dealing with all these other demonic spirits. And every time he would call out another spirit, but he was operating in the gift of the discerning spirits, he'd call out another spirit's name, and I'd get more violent. And it took like 8 people to try to hold me down. They were sitting on my body, sitting on my legs and on my arms and whatever, and I'm still writhing up and down. And 25 demons were cast out of me that night.
Well, I mean, if you could tell me anything, it probably sounds a little bit like Legion there with all the demons inside of him. And you think about this, he was like a snake. He was cursing profanities. But while he's performing all these things, he's saying, I love Jesus during that time. Yeah. How on earth is that any bit of biblical? Do we see anybody in the scriptures that is cursing, rolling around like a snake, but love Jesus?
Yeah, you know, he talks about in the same, earlier in that clip, he talks about how he lived with his poor deaf mother, you know, and how she would be in her room. And he said that things would go on there as well. And she ended up getting a broken arm, getting beat up pretty bad. And he said it was the demons, but some of his family members went and said, no, that was you. They blamed him because he admits, he goes, yeah, I used to beat her up, you know. So beat up his deaf mom, okay? I mean, you could be repent and get right with God, but he told her, no, it was the demons. I'm not saying he's saying it's the demons through him. He was saying it was the same demons that were maybe possessing him. But this is the guy that's full-blown possessed, going into the ministry and doing all these weird things and full of adultery and homosexual acts with different people. This is a guy that has never been redeemed, apparently, and needs Jesus. As Christians, no, you can't. A Christian cannot be possessed. You can. The Holy Spirit is not a bedfellow with a demon. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Satan doesn't hang. Jesus does it. The Holy Spirit does not hang out with Satan in the temple of the living God. You know, believers can be oppressed. They go through oppression, and you can go ahead and read about Job, and you can see some pretty heavy oppression there. And Satan can do those types of things where he can cause a lot of harm to believers. But as we seek Jesus, we can resist him, and he'll flee. So we're dealing with a movement where, and by the way, the whole laughing revival, so-called, where they're like hyenas and growling and frothing at the mouth and shaking and so forth. In the Vineyard movement, and then as this movement continued to move on, they identified this early on as demonic. And it kept happening so much, they said, you know what, it must be the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're dealing with. with a movement that is demonic, that is being called a move of God. But you're supposed to test the Spirit, see what's from God, test everything, hold fast, that which is good. And when you look at this, you're aligning yourself with witches and Gandalf and wizardry by their own admission and doing spells, encouraging people in spells with, as you mentioned, the grand wizard of them all at Bethel, Bill Johnson, the one who walks up with the staff. It basically says, I'm the man.
And, you know, the whole point of playing this clip, talking about these clips, talking about all this is just that question, what spirit is this of? And so when you see all these things, that's exactly what we are trying our best and pleading that you would open your eyes and see, this is not the Holy Spirit. These are not the acts of the Holy Spirit. I was just down with Pastor Jonathan Ball down in Mexico. And he had a couple that he was friends with years ago when he was first coming to the Lord and in ministry, and they convinced him to go up to Bethel's School of Supernatural Ministry. And so they went up there, this couple, they went, and Jonathan said he walked in, and he realized, he was only there for 3 days, and he realized, whoa. He's like, first of all, 1 Corinthians 14 is very clear that everything should be done decently in order. He's like, you got people over here, you got people laying down, sleeping, or whatever. This is just craziness. And he said the saddest part was years later that man and that woman, because remember, when these things are based on feelings and you don't have an objective word of God to go back to, your feelings will, Satan will use that against you 100%. And this man, he said he would go to him, try to have Bible studies. Everything was different. Everything was about experience now. And he didn't really care as much about the word of God, and not too much longer after.
Remember the stories. And he would be as well.
Exactly. What had happened? He left his wife.
Yeah.
Because of feelings. You know, God's word already says it. It's done.
Yeah.
Man and a woman, one, cleave together until you go meet with Jesus in eternity. That's it.
Yeah.
And the fact is that you look at this, and it's heartbreaking, because when you look at so many that have been involved in the charismatic movement, and praise God that Bill Johnson and Benny Johnson seemingly are together and everything's fine in that regard, and I just want to see their repentance. But when you look at the charismatic movement, it is a movement that has been dictated by sexual infidelity from the Benny Hinn's of the world, from the Jimmy Swaggart's of the world, from the Bakers of the world. Over and over again, you see how Satan gets in because it's about your feelings.
Yeah, and we're not saying, those who follow our ministry know that we're not cessationists. Don't believe in cessationalism, charismania. We don't believe in cessationism, that God's hands are tied or that he just doesn't work supernaturally anymore. Scriptures talk about in the last days, not premeditating what you'll speak. The Holy Spirit will speak through you when you go before governors and authorities and kings and so forth. And there'll be two witnesses that prophesy for 1260 days, Revelation chapter 11. A week ago, I had a pretty radical dream where Brother Chuck and Sister Lola, two wonderful worship leaders on our worship team, along with a few others like Tony. Lola, we just lost. And right before we lost her, I knew I was going to Mexico to visit Jonathan and help build that church out there, or his home out there right next to the church, along with our missionary team. And I had a pretty powerful dream. And so in that dream, I saw Chuck sitting there. And it wasn't there. I told my wife when I woke up, this was like a week before I left, and he was sitting down and he was really hurting, really sad, and by himself. But there were other people around. I said, but it wasn't our church. It was a different setting. I go, it was just kind of strange. I go, but it showed me that he was really hurting. And Chuck's really strong in the Lord. Yeah. But him and Lola have been so tight and such a beautiful relationship. They both, I mean, they're two of the most beautiful worship leaders you'll ever see when they sing, when they praise God, and their Christian walk, and they love truth. They're just a remarkable people. And she went on to be with the Lord. But before she went, I told Lisa, I need to go over there extra right now. I don't care how busy my schedule is. And I went over there. We went once or twice together. And then I went 2 days in a row. And I told Chuck about my dream, and then I just said, hey, you know, I felt I really need to reach out to you extra right now, and because, you know, and so forth. Even though Lola had been my focal point, trying to encourage her, you know, and that the Lord's waiting for her and so forth as she was getting closer. And it was really interesting what happened in that whole setting, because he didn't seem like he was like that, although he began to talk about her. And he said, and he's just really hitting me that she's getting close, and he started to get teary-eyed, but it wasn't really my dream. And then yesterday we had the memorial. Not the memorial, we had the burial, which is very just family and a couple just real close people to them. And the memorial would be this Saturday. And it was interesting because I went to Mexico, and just before I left to Mexico, she had passed to be with the Lord. So we rejoice that she's with the Lord, but there's that pain. And Chuck is a phenomenal guy, and he was able to hold together and work with me on the whole burial. And I gave the message, and afterwards, you know, I went over to my wife, and we're standing there as people had put roses on the casket, you know. And we both looked at Chuck, and he was sitting like this by himself in the front row in, you know, tears, you know. And my wife goes, she goes, your dream. And I go, oh yeah, that's, yeah, just like my dream. And I go, my dream, that's exactly my dream, the exact setting, the position I was from him and everything. And it blew me away because I'm like, wow, this was the place, you know? And that's happened a number of times in pastoral ministry. That's how the Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit is relational. He wants us to love one another, encourage one another, not about power and me being a God and me declaring wealth, but about loving one another, encouraging one another in Jesus. So we believe the Holy Spirit does work, and he works radically as we seek him, and we put our face before God, we put our hearts down and bow before him. We say, Lord, use us. So it was quite a remarkable thing that had happened, because she remembered in detail my dream. And then I went over, and I probably went to Chuck a couple times after that, gave him love, let him know I'm here for him and so forth, let him know, you know, we do the memorial and so forth. But so we do believe in the power of God, and we do believe that God continues to work. So in the midst of all this ugly chaos, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Seek God and let him work, but test everything according to scripture and make sure you're ministering to the glory of Jesus.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.